Right, so we looked at different models for understanding how the kohanim, right, the regular kohen head yoke, how does the kohen head yoke relate to the power of the kohen gadol? Right, quick a reminder, on Yom Kippur, the special karbanos we have which go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have the power of the kohen gadol, we have the sa'ir la'ashem, right, and we have the sa'ir hamish delayah, right, the sa'ir for azazel. Those are the three special karbanos of kapara on Yom Kippur. So the power of kohen gadol, we know that everybody gets, all Kohanim get Kapara from, right? Not just the Kohanim, or not just Kohen Gadol, but all their Kohanim. So we looked at various models to understand what exactly the relationship of the other Kohanim to this Karban is. That sets up this week, where we look at what I think really is the more interesting, or at least more gets to the core of what this Karban is all about, which is, right, not the relationship of the Kohen Head Yoke to the Par, but rather the relationship of the Kohen Gadol, right? What's the relationship of the Kohen Gadol to the Par, right? So, like, a priori, like, before we even think about it. So, anything that would make us think that there's something a little out of the ordinary going on with the relationship between the Kohen Gadol and this carbon, like, anything that would highlight the relationship between the Kohen Gadol and the carbon?
In the greeting itself?
What?
In the greeting itself, or?
Just anything that would indicate to me that there's a special relationship between the Kohen Gadol and the carbon. Excellent. Number one, right? The name. 1000%, right? The fact that it's called Par Kohen Gadol, right? Or Par Shel Aaron, or Shel Aaron, depending on where you see it, right? 100%. That's an indication that maybe there's something going on here, right? So, for example, if we took the opinion of Rava in the Gemara that that this Par is a carbon, not Tzibur on the one hand, but not Yachel on the other hand, but if we said it's a carbon of Shutzvin, right? We said it's a carbon of a partnership. So we still would be inclined to look at this not as an equal partnership, right? But the fact that it's called the power of the Kohen Gadol would tell me that I want to look at something with, you know, Kohen Gadol, his relationship to this carbon. Anything else?
I mean, we sort of established that the Kohen Gadol has to do all the Avodah and Kippur, so that would also be...
100%, piece number two, right? Kohen Gadol is the man of the day, right? So if there's a carbon which he has to bring for his kapara, so I'd expect maybe there's something special going on there as well. 1000%. That was the second thing I was thinking of. And one more. It was a halacha that we learned. It was on Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Bingo. Yeah, he has to, his own money, right? He has to put up the money for it. So he has to put up the money for it. He's doing all the avodas of the day. We know this is the Kohen Gadol day. And the fact that it's called the Par Kohen Gadol are just three indications right off the bat that we would really like to see an indication of some special relationship between the Kohen Gadol and his carbon, right? Okay, so that's established. With that established, we can go to, let's just go straight to the Rambam, let's not mess around, we'll see the other Makaros afterwards, but first let's get into the Rambams. So the first is one we saw last week, which is Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Parakei, Halacha Yud Gimel. It's funny, right? Usually you look at the two extremes, and then you look at the middle one. We have to do this one first, because this is our local Rambam, but this seems to be the middle presentation of the Rambam. So let's first read this one carefully, and then we'll look at the next two. Anyone want to read Avodas Yom HaKippurim?
Sure.
Awesome. But
slow.
Par Yom HaKippurim, Af Al Pi Shekohen Gadol Koneh Mishalom, Shneamar Par Chatat HaShalom.
Okay, so what are we, so what is...
So the par of the day of Yom HaKippurim.
Yeah.
Even though that Kohen Gadol has to purchase from his own, as
right,
from the pasuk parachatat shalom.
Noteworthy, because the Rambam doesn't always quote Yipsukim, right? So he's highlighting the fact that there's a pasuk that's quoted here, right? Asher parachatas asher lo. So even though he has to buy it,
hamakom ifkir mamono bolachol acham akonim.
Yeah.
Makom. I'm not sure exactly what that means in the context, but I assume like Pash Baruch Hu.
100%.
So Pash Baruch Hu is mafkir his money, makes it ownerless
right,
in such a way that it sort of goes to all of his brethren Kohanim.
Interesting also, he doesn't say the call Sha'ar HaKohanim, he says the call
Achav,
right? So we're emphasizing their they're in because of their relationship to the Kohen Gadol, right? Okay.
Didn't Rav Shossi go on show?
Maybe. Yeah, I think so. Good. Okay.
Shilu lo hayala had bo shutfut lo hayu mechaperim bo.
Okay.
If they did not have any shutfus in a joint ownership, they wouldn't be able to be mechaper with
it. Excellent. So, what word are you underlining in that phrase?
Shutfus.
Shutfus, right? If they did not have partnership, as Adam said, then they would not have gotten kapar. Okay? So it sounds like, is the Rambam saying kiva or kufya?
Kiva.
Kiva, right? They have a real real fixed share. They have certain ownership. Okay, and it sounds like, what's their relationship to the carbon? What's
the
relationship? They own it, right? They're partners. Sounds like they're partners. Okay, and then let's read a little bit more. Since they're partners...
Therefore, if the Kohen Gadol passes before he shachts the par, the Kohen has been put in his place. Doesn't bring another par. Rather, he shachts the one of the first Kohen Gadol.
Right, so what's the causative relationship there? We said X, Lefichach Y, right? So...
Since it's under joint ownership, there was the thing that the new Kohen Gadol will have to bring a new carbon.
Right.
Because it belongs to the previous, because it has Sibor Mason.
So they're partners, and Nafkamina, number one, is the Kohen Head Yod is able to step in, because after all, he was one of the previous owner, right?
Yeah.
Just because the Kohen Gadol died, well, I'm a partner too, right? So there's no reason why he can't step in. So that's piece A, and now piece B, right? Ve'eno, I think you were starting to reference this.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And it's not, like, considered a chatat of which the owner passed away, because now we're dealing with a rabbin, and the rabbin were not considered as if they passed away.
Right, and what's he referencing? Where did the Gemara discuss this? This was the Gemara's discussion back on Daf Nunam Beis, right? That was with Rav Amram and Abai and Rava, right? So the Rambam is saying, seems to be saying, right, tell me if this is a fair presentation, the other Kohanim are partners. They gain this partnership because the Torah granted them a financial share in the carbon. Two nafkamina of the fact that they are partners, other than the fact that, well, number one, I get three nafkamina. Number one, they're able to get kapara. Number two, if the Kohen Gadol dies, one of the other Kohanim is able to step in because he is also a co-owner. And number three, we're not going to categorize this as a chatat shemesu ba'aleha, right? Because the halacha that a chatas, his owner dies, has to go die, only applies to a chatas owned by an individual, right? But this is, what does he call this? This is a chatas harabim, right? So if there are two phrases here that I would have to bold to, you know, how does the Rambam define the par Kohen Gadol? So one would be that word shutfus, right? Partnership. And two would be he calls it a chatas harabim. Right, calls us. It is a chatas, not chatas at Sibor, chatas harab. Right, it belongs to the multitude.
Is there possibly nafkamina that?
It's Sibor.
Yeah,
well, Sibor is everyone. This is just
a Kohanim. Yeah, in other words, it seems like he's not willing to call the Kohanim at Sibor. He's only
call
the Kohanim at Sibor.
Would there be nafkamina?
In this regard, I wouldn't think so. But at least let's leave it at that for now.
Other than there's like it basically is Korban Sibor.
For the Kohanim.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it
works like
all the halachos are.
I guess. I mean, the reason why you wouldn't want to say that is because we like to think of a Korban Sibor as a Korban which not every individual has a share in, but that every individual is part of the Sibor and that Sibor owns the Korban. Right, so like you don't have a share in the carbon tamid, you are a member of the tzibur, and the tzibur owns the tamid. Right, whereas here we're saying that every kohen has a share in the par kohen gadol. That is why you wouldn't want to jump into calling it a carbon of the tzibur.
Yeah.
Right, and that's going to be our next big topic: is what exactly is a carbon tzibur? That's for next week. Okay, so that's Ad Kan Rambam number one.
So when you probably mentioned like the market, like emphasizes echa of a kohanim as opposed to just like it like emphasizes the family relationship, but like I mean theoretically aren't all kohanim familially related? So like what's like so like yeah it emphasizes the family aspect, but like even just the word kohanim, like it's just they're all related. So Like, why is that more...
Why would that be significant and related? They're not immediate family.
Because, like, weren't we discussing at a point, like, if it's just our own family, or if it's just our own, or then if it's all of Kanim, like... Weren't we discussing that at all?
Right, that's actually an excellent point. The Chumash itself emphasizes the relationship between Aaron and the other Kohanim, because when the Chumash talks about the kapara for the other Kohanim, it comes from Aaron and Besau.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Yeah, like...
So the Chumash itself is already emphasizing the fellow priestly relationship to Aaron.
Yeah.
Which is great, because that's what we're saying maybe the Rambam is doing as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's not really such a difference. It's a
diuk that I'm making. And I'm just making a diuk. If I was writing a dry, you know, objective legal text, I would have used the term Sha'ar HaKohanim, right? Echav HaKohanim is certainly accurate. It's just not the term that I would have expected to use.
Okay,
so that's problem number one, right? It sounds like it's a partnership, and it sounds like, and he calls it a chatas of the rabbi. Okay, so now we move to the Rambam in Temura, right? As a reminder, you cannot make a Temura unless you are the individual owner of a carbon, right? Temura is, you have Betsy the cow, and you designate it as a carbon, and you want to swap it out for Sally the cow, or actually we're dealing with a par, so it should be Billy the cow and Johnny the cow, right, so you can't switch out cows for your karbanos. If you do, that's a temura, and they both become holy. So that halacha only exists if it's a karban which belongs to an individual. If it is a karban which belongs to the tzibur, or it's a karban which belongs to partners, temura is not effective. Okay, so that's the context where the Rambam is going to talk in halacha parak aleph halacha yud. Right, which karbanos you can make into a temura, which karbanos you can't make into a temura. Okay, so we want to take Parak Avach Yud, Hilchos Temura. Matt, got it?
Ilush HaKohen Gadol Ose Temura.
Okay, so which carbon is that? So this is the Kohen Gadol brings two carbonos on Yom Kippur, right? He brings Par V'Ayal, right? The Par is Par L'Chatas, V'Ayal L'Chad Le'Ola. Right, the ale of the Kohen Gadol, so that's his he brings as an ola. So there's no fellow kapara for any of the Kohanim. So we would certainly expect that he can make a temura on his own ayal. Very good.
That makes sense. About paro, you know, is a temura. Afalpi shehum yishala, but he can't do the temura for the par, even though it's his. Okay. Afal Kohanim is kaparin bo. Hare heim bo kishutfin. The other Kohanim are also, they also get kapara from this par, because they're shutfin in this korban. So it seems to be saying that the difference between this korban and the aisle is that they're shutfin. The other Kohanim are shutfin, so it's not really like a korban yachid. So therefore you can't do it tomorrow.
Right. So since they're partners, there's no temura. Is there anything in this that you would have written differently? Anything that sticks out here as not fitting perfectly nicely with the Rambam we just saw in Halacha Sabbatai?
Kishur too. That's the Mishalah as well.
Okay, so let's come back to Adam's point in 1 second. What do you mean by Mishalah?
I mean, the previous Rambam seems to be emphasizing the Rabin and the Shutfin aspect of the Korban.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, here the first thing that he says is that it's Mishalah. I mean, fine, the other Rambam did mention that it was his money, but here it seems to be more than just like his money. Mishalah seems to be like it's his Korban.
Well, also, right. The first Rambam, in the beginning, it says, Ahol Pisha Kohen Gadol Kona Mishalah.
Yeah.
To say, even though he buys a Mishalah, it's not Mishalah.
Right.
Where this one seems to say, even though you might think it's not Mishalah, it is Mishalah.
Well, in this one he says, I totally agree that it's important that he said Mishalah in the first Rambam also. Here he says, I'll say this in English, tell me if I'm giving a fair English rendition of this, okay? So, Avapar, right? So, however, his bull, he can't make a temura on it, even though he bought it, since his fellow, right, again, Echav HaKohanim, since his brother Kohanim get atonement for it, behold, they are like partners. So yeah, so they are
the second part seem redundant. Right.
It
kind of seems lacking. Like it's not the qualification for Kishitafin wasn't Ms. Kaparin though, is that they also are Baalim, not that they like you can get Kapara even if you're not a Baal.
Yeah. Right, does he make them sound, do we see a reference to Hifgir Mamonum or ownership?
No.
No, right, they're, since they get Kapara, they are, now this comes back to Adam's point, they are
Kishotvin.
Why not just tell me they're Kishotvin? Right, you should have said, Ho'el V'atora Hifgir Mamono, Harei Heim Shotvin, and therefore there's no Temura, right? We're like, you know, kind of threading some needle over here. We're saying they're shutfin in the sense, in one sense, enough that it's no Temura, but he won't call them shutfin, right? So that's strange. And he is once again highlighting that that he's the one who buys it, right? He's highlighting that it's his money. Okay, so this is like sounds a little less confident than the presentation we had, right? And Yom Kippurim, he's calling it a chatas harabim. He's saying they have a shutfis in it, right? Not a kish shutfis, they have a shutfis. Here, all of a sudden, we're like backing off a little bit. But we're still saying that there's no temura, right? So the halachic result of being partners is still there. For some reason, he just won't go out and call them partners. Okay, so that's Rambam number two. Now let's go to Rambam number three.
Is it fair to say it sounds more like kopya? Because it says kish
shutfis? Yeah, I guess. You wouldn't have to say it, because you, and in fact, right, when the Gemara, you wouldn't know, you can't say kufya, because when the Gemara asked, right, assuming it's a carbon yachid, can the Kohen Gadol make a tumur or not, and then the Gemara said, well, it depends, if it's kiva, then no, if it's kufya, then yes. So the fact that the Kohen Gadol cannot make a tumura tells me for sure that the Rambam Paskins that it's not kapara mikufya, it's kapara mikviusa. The question is just is, right, we know that they have a kviusa, we just don't know if he is, if they're partners, or if he's, is a carbon yachad or is a carbon shutvin. Okay, now, Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, Parak Aleph Lachov Vav. Right, this is the third one. Right, and so what's the Rambam doing in the first chapter of Maisa Karbanos, or at least the beginning of it? So he's just giving you the basic categories of Karbanos, right, which is what you'd expect the Rambam to do in the first chapter of Maisa Karbanos, right? He's going to break the Karbanos into different basic categories. So, right, one basic split is carbon yachid versus carbon tzibur. So in Halacha Hey, he tells you all the Karbanos tzibur, and in Halacha Vav, he tells you all the Karbanos yachid. So why are we excited about Halacha Vav in Maaseh Karbanos Parak Aleph?
Yeah.
Right. At the very end, right, mm-hmm. and in the Frankel they break it up with some two dots, right, which is important. So yeah, let's pick it up from that relevant part. V'chein Ayel Ha'olah.
Awesome.
Right. Once again, he's bringing them
together.
Mishalo, right?
Yeah.
His own cash, yeah. Okay. So what's the problem?
It's considered carbon yachid, and the Rambam elsewhere calls it.
So it's also in the same exact category.
Yeah.
So it's with the Ahola. Any saving grace we could maybe, you know, any straws we can grasp on from the sequence in Halacha Vav, where he puts all the Karbanos Yachid together and.
Because of Par Yom HaKippurim versus Par Kohen Gadol.
Okay. Did he call it Par Kohen Gadol somewhere? I don't remember. I don't think he did.
He didn't, but elsewhere.
And he called it Par Yom HaKippurim.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's like elsewhere. It's often referred to as
Par Kohen Gadol. Okay. But in other words, what's the problem with Halacha? Let's break down. So we have Temura, Avodas Yom Kippur, and Maaseh Karbanos. We have three different, you know.
Would Pesach be a Yachid? Because he includes it, and that's not necessarily. That's sort of a similar idea.
Excellent. Where does he include Pesach?
In the first line of this.
Awesome. Okay, so, right, we will...
The definition of Yachid, obviously, isn't just something that...
Amazing. Amazing, right? Yeah, Pesach and Chagiga as Karbon Yachid are complicated, and that's what we have to get to. Very, very good. Okay, so sorry, so if we look at some of the other halachos, so maybe, right, straw one we'll jump on 100%, is that it seems like Yachid... Some of these Karbonos may be a little bit more complicated. Good. The only other straw I can see is that the Rambam saves the Par Kohen Gadol for the very end, right? The very, very end of the Karbanos Yachid. But otherwise, it's a problem, right? I mean, so just to review, we have in Maaser Karbanos, that's the Yachid extreme, right? Where he has all the Karbanos Yachid and he calls the Par Yom Kippurim a Karban Yachid, black and white, a Rehin Karban Yachid. Hilchos Temura, he had like the middle approach, right? He said there is no Temura and it's Harehin Keh Shutfin. Well, they're like partners, but they're enough like partners that they can prevent him from making a temura. And in Avodas Yom Kippurim, he said it's a chatas harabim, and they have a partnership in it. Okay.
It's also not like so necessary for the word mishalo to be here if we're talking about Karban Yachid. Like, if the Kohen Gadol was bringing it, like. Actually, the
Rambam
might not
have, like, Bali. Yeah. Yeah, right. And every... So, what do we do?
But he says it really.
What do you do?
In the last part, he groups the two together.
Which
one? I don't know. Like, I don't know if it needs to be
that he said, Yeah.
Any either thoughts or B, like any strategies that we could try to employ to see, you know, what we could
in
do
the third one, the fact that it's Yachid seems to come directly out of the fact that it's Mishalah, right?
Okay, let's go with that, sure. Since he bought it, it's a Karban Yachid. Okay, let's make
right.
that read.
Whereas in the other two, it seems that the focus is more on like who it atones for, and that's sort of more defining.
Right. But why should that be? Right, we're focusing, yeah, the ownership comes from the Kohen Gadol, but the atonement is going to all the Kohanim. But in general, and you know, we didn't, I put this in brackets one of the earlier Makaros, but in general, the Rambam thinks that if you have one person who buys a carbon for someone else to get atonement from, the person getting the atonement is the main owner. So atonement seems to be more important to determine ownership than putting up the money.
Good. Then Korban Yachid maybe doesn't have to do with...
Sorry, so Jacob, so you're saying when he calls it a Karban Yachid, and he's the one who pays for it, so you're saying maybe it's Karban Yachid in the sense that he pays for it.
Yeah, it would just be a technicality in the words, like it feels unsubstantive.
Right. I think what you're saying is true in the sense of he is the one who, it is Yachid, he is the one who's paying for it. Rabim comes from their atonement, but their atonement is so much more important that should be what he talks about generally, instead of there being a different answer. Yeah, here.
Perhaps that's true in a normal case, where atonement beats out ownership completely.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also talking about specifically a case where only the Kohen Gadol can also fulfill the procedure surrounding sacrificing it. So it's not just his in terms of his ownership, it's his in terms of his ownership and his process and his sacrifice. And then the atonement, so... Perhaps you could say that exactly because the Rambam considers this atonement to be so central to the ownership, in this case where there's such a clear focus on the Kohen Gadol, instead of it becoming totally the Kohen Gadol's, because of the centrality of atonement, it becomes like really this sort of dual status object where because of all of that, it goes into the direction of the Kohen Gadol, but because of the atonement, it goes in the correct in the direction of Shutafut, and so it really is both Mishutaf and Yachid, and it can be like a unique object that's allowed to be both.
Yeah, so that's basically what I think is that's the core of what I want to say. That is, I think, all around 100%. Yeah. Okay, so let's try drawing that out a little bit. That's awesome. You missed it.
Oh no.
It's okay. We'll do it again. Take a look back in the Halacha Sabbatos Yom Kippurim, Halacha Hay, Parak Elach Yogimel, right? So point one is exactly what we're saying a second ago. In order for the Kohanim to get Kapara, right, it sounds like the Rambam thinks that there is no Kapara without ownership. And they are getting ownership in order to get atonement, right? And what did the Rambam say? He said, the Torah, this unique halacha, I don't know of any parallel halacha, right? Where is the Torah? Any other case where the Torah is mafgir mamon, so that someone else, right? The Torah takes X person's money and is mafgir it in a certain sense to people X, Y, and Z. Right? I'm not familiar with such a concept. And that's happening here, right? The Torah is being mafgir the mamon of the Kohen Gadol so that the other Kohanim can get kapar. So it sounds like they're only getting a share because they need a share in the karba in order to get it, in order to get kapara. If I had to bet, I would bet that this is like a funny sort of ownership that they have, right? They're owners so that they can get kapara. I wouldn't think that this is regular, full-blooded ownership. It's like, you know, it's a technicality, right? We're letting them become bialim in the par to get them into the club, to get them into the kapara club, right? You need some ownership that will give them, the Torah makes them owners for the purposes of getting kapara. That tone seemed to be in Hilchos Temura as well, right? Where the Rambam said that, you know, since the Kohanim get kapara, they are like shutfin, right? So it's kind of a two-way street, right? We give them partnership so that they can atone, and then, right, the fact that they are full-blooded atoners, right, so they're like the Kohen Gadol's partners. But so they're not full owners. They're owners so that they can, in the sense that they can get kapara. But piece number two, I think this is the real key, is that we have to emphasize the role and relationship of the Kohen Gadol with this part. That even if we're going to call the other Kohanim Shutfin or Kishutfin, the par is the par of the Kohen Gadol. In other words, if we're going to make them owners, we have to make the Kohen Gadol like a super bialim. I've been looking, because this would be like a radical chiddush, and I've been looking for someone to say it. No one has even asked the question. It's a basic question that I want to ask, and it would like just really highlight what I'm trying to say. First mission Zachem. Does anyone know what the first mission Zachem talks about? Okay. No?
People.
Very close. Yeah, 100%. Almost. If you have the wrong intent when you do one of the avodas for a carbon, right? There are, so the Mishnah there talks about two basic forms of improper intent you can have, and they are Shinoi Hashem and Shinoi Bailim. Right, so for example, you sprinkle the blood of the carbon, right? So you have, let's say, Ruvain's Ola, right? Ruvain's Ola. So Shinui Hashem would be you're sprinkling Ruvain's Ola, and you're having in mind this is Ruvain's Chatas, right? You have in mind the wrong carbon. That is Shinui Hashem. Shinui Bailim is you're sprinkling Ruvain's Ola, and you have in mind that this is Shimon's Ola, right? So that's you're having in mind the wrong owner. Having either the wrong name, that's Shinoi Kodesh. Having in mind the wrong owners, that is Shinoi Bailim. Okay. Yeah?
So there's a except for a Chatas.
Okay, so for a Chatas is especially sensitive to these halachos, because normally if you do an Yavodos with these Karbanos with improper intent, it is Kasher Velo Ala Labailim, right? You continue, you bring the animal, just the owner has to bring a new one. Whereas for Chatas and for Pesach, the halacha is, the Mishnah says, the carbon is pasul. Okay? So those are the two. Those are the two rules: Shinei Kodesh and Shinei. Shinei Hashem, Shinei Kodesh, and Shinei Baalim. Changing what the carbon is when you do the avodah, or changing who the owner is when you do the avodah. Right? Kohen has in mind the wrong carbon. Kohen has in mind the wrong owner. There's a basic machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam as to whether these are conceptually two different halachos. Shinei Kodesh changes the nature of the carbon. Shinei Baalim, you haven't changed the carbon, you've just changed who the owner is. That's the position of Rashi. There's a lot of evidence in the Rambam that these are really the same halacha. He even says it explicitly, where he puts them under the same umbrella term. I think they're Shinei Kodesh and Shinei Baalim, and he says these are both Shinui Hashem. These are, you know, changing what the carbon is in your intent, and changing the owner in your intent. These are both ways of changing the carbon. So what in particular the Rambam's theory seems to be at Shinei Kodesh and Shinei Baalim is as follows. You have to have in mind the carbon that you're offering. But the carbon you're offering is not just an ola, right? It's not just an ola that Reuven owns, or a chatas. Let's see, the chatas, because that's the more radical case. It's not just a chatas that Reuven owns. Inherent to the animal was defined as Reuven's chatas, right? Both the owner and the shame carbon are inherent to the carbon itself. And that's why for the Rambam, these are both called Shinei Hashem. They're the same thing, and the Ram, against a bunch of Gemaras, thinks that they have all the same halachas. Okay, if you change the name of the car, if you change the carbon in your intent, if you change the owner in your intent, either way, you are changing the essence of the carbon, right? Shinei Kodesh, I'm changing, it's Reuven's Chatas. So I'm either calling it Reuven's Ola, or I'm calling it Shimon's Chatas. But either way, for the Rambam, I'm really changing the heart of what this carbon is all about, right? The underlying shame of the carbon. What is the halacha if the Kohen Gadol would shecht his par Kohen Gadol, and he had in mind, let's say, for me to get kapara, and for the other Kohenim to get kapara, and for Yehuda, from the tribe of Yehuda, to get kapara as well. I'm going to get the main kapara, and then from the other kapara, it's going to go to the other Kohanim and to this one guy from Shevet Yehuda. Would that be Shinoi Baalim? Would we say that by changing the name, by including in this junior level of kapara, in this junior level of ownership, by including a non-Kohen, would he be changing the essential nature of the carbon?
How are the other Kohanim shatif with the carbon?
The Torah gave them some mysterious financial stake. Right? Which is hard to understand because...
But if you only get that, it's not a real financial stake by definition. Then they would have to be Kohanim in some manner.
Correct.
But Yehuda's definitely not part of it.
Yehuda's out. Right? Yehuda's out of the carbon. So I have in mind, right, the Kohen Gadol has in mind, it's for me, for the Kohanim, and just like the Kohanim are getting kapara mi kviusa, so too I'm having in mind for Yehuda to get kapara mi kviusa. Would that be Shinui Baalim?
Yeah.
Why? That's the more straightforward answer. Is, yeah. So.
Because he shouldn't have been included to begin with. He doesn't have that stake in it.
Right. So that would be the instinctive response, is you're having in mind the Baalim, and this guy's not a Baalim, so if you put him in, then that's Shinui Baalim, that's inappropriate. Given my introduction before, why could you possibly say no? Again, maybe you can't. I've not found anyone who talks about this, and I can't believe I'm stuck with that. Yeah, if Shinui Baalim is changing the essential nature of the carbon, so it's the Kohen Gadol's Chatas. Everyone else gets some kapara from it, but it's the Kohen Gadol's Chatas. He's the real Baalim. You have the partners, but he's the super Baalim. So if you want Shinoi Baalim, it's not enough to add in a junior level member. you have to be taking out the Kohen Gadol and putting someone else in his place. Right? That would be one way of illustrating what we would mean by Kohen Gadol as super vital. Right? That he is the only owner who is fixed in the inherent carbon itself. Everyone else gets kapara from it. But it's the Kohen Gadol's, right? Just like on an individual basis, you have Reuven's chatas. So to here, it is the Kohen Gadol's carbon, and the Torah gave the other Kohanim a stake in it, and that has nafkaminas for Temura, and that has nafkaminas for Misas HaKohen Gadol, right, as the Rambam talked about in Hilchos Temura and Hilchos Ma'aser Korbanos. But at its core, there is really one owner, right? Mishalo, it is his from him. Right? That would be one way of illustrating this idea of the Kohen Gadol as the super violent, right? That he's the only one who's the inherent into the carbon owner. Yeah, question.
So how, according to that, in the second Kohen
Gadol, they go? Yeah, so I thought about that. You have to say, well, I don't, what, do you have any thought? Yeah, so you have to say his toehold, right? His initial toehold is enough that once there's no Kohen Gadol, that now, or his initial toehold is enough that with the main Kohen Gadol gone and him assuming the office, right, that he takes over. That question gets into the second thing I want to say, right? In other words, Das's question highlights is that it's not just the Kohen Gadol as, you know, Reuven the Kohen Gadol as an individual person who happens to be Kohen Gadol, his relationship with the carbon. It seems like we need to go one step beyond that and say that it's really the Kohen Gadol via the office of Kohen Gadol as having that relationship with the carbon, right? That it's not just Reuven happens to be the Kohen Gadol, so he happens to be the one who has the obligation to buy it, and that gives him as a person a special relationship with it. It sounds like Kohen Gadol as the office, the institution of Kohen Gadol, has to have this relationship with the carbon.
It doesn't
really... So, and this is getting complicated. But
that doesn't really fit so much with, like, the Hashem Mishalot, like... It's Daka Shalom. Like, it's not like...
Well, who is the Shalom?
Like, exactly.
Is it defined by Reuven, or is it defined by Shalom being Kohen Gadol?
I mean,
right.
Like, I hear Shalom kind of sounds like it's attached to the person itself. Like,
I hear you, but how would you have formulated it otherwise?
Like, Shalom Kohen Gadol. Like,
but it would be awkward, I
think. Yeah.
It would be, but like...
And remember, in the context of the pasuk, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking, and the whole pasuk, the whole parsha is Aaron, right? The ultimate Kohen Gadol.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the Torah would have written it that Aaron brings it. Mishael HaKohen Gadol would have been.
Well, it's not just the pasuk; it's also like the whole emphasis by the Rambam and the Gemara on the Asher Lo. Like it's not just the words in the pasuk, but like the fact that it's emphasized over and over again, saying that it belongs to like that it's his. Property.
But it's also saying that in comparison to being to someone else's, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, Reuven isn't significant in himself, he's only significant insofar as he is the Kohen Gadol.
Yeah.
Except when he brought the carbon.
Well,
except what, sorry?
But he brought the carbon. He's significant because it's his personally.
Like, it's not like as a Kohen Gadol,
right.
He's presented with the carbon. Like,
but
it's
although,
like, Gadol,
although let's, I mean, let's say instead of, dying, let's say he's disqualified. Right, so then a substitute has to come in for the day. So the substitute would also run with that par, right? Even though he didn't buy it, because he's the Kohen Gadol now, right? I would think so, yeah.
But it's also, I mean, to support the idea that Mishalo is talking about his Kohen Gadolness, not his own money, like, we're also, it says, Mishalo lechaper alav b'shvilo b'shoteito, right? And we're interpreting beito not as a kind of more immediate familial idea, but right, we're interpreting beito much more, like, expansively as a beito, the beito defined by his position as the Kohen Gadol, meaning when
right.
He abides the Kohanim.
Echav
HaKohen. So that's also using the term, like, that's also another instance, or there seems to be other instances where we're using this sort of personalized terminology, but to describe the office, not to describe
his role. So if Beito is Echav HaKohanim, it would make sense that Mishalo would mean Mishal, his responsibility as a Kohen Gadol.
In that case, would that mean that this par, instead of being paid for by his own money, would be paid for like by the money from the Beit HaMikdash? Like, would that be what we're suggesting?
No, I don't think at all. I think it has to come from the Kohen, has to come from the Kohen Gadol's bank account. Right? It has to come from the Kohen Gadol's bank account. Mazel Tov, you're the Kohen Gadol, so it's your name on the bank account.
But it really belongs to the
but,
I
right,
feel,
exactly, exactly.
Feel like if it's,
right, which is such a
yeah.
weird thing. Such a weird thing that somehow Achav HaKohanim have this ability to tap into the Kohen Gadol's assets.
I feel like if it belongs to the off of the Kohen Gadol, then it should be paid for by the Beit HaMikdash, like the treasury in the Beit HaMikdash, like especially if it belongs to the office, like.
Well, it's his
right, but it's exactly it's his office. The office, the inst- he. And that's,
no, it's
that's
not.
That's the idea,
not, like,
right?
The
person is the. I mean, that's what's unique with the Kohen Gadol is that the person is the institution, right? That you know, Aaron has to become this min hamikdash lo yetze, right? You have this individual person who has to become, has to become this institutionalized person.
He also, I mean, his money comes from the dole of the people, also. Right, and all of the Kohen's money.
True, I was thinking that,
the
but I mean,
so
but ultimately, it's
you know,
at the end of the day, it's private property,
it's,
right?
Like, it is private property.
They have to,
they have to
enrich him.
It is private property,
but it's private property.
I think you're thinking of so much like a government official today, you get like a classic salary, and all their assets are from there.
Well, no, I mean the halacha is that right? The Kohen Gadol has to be gadol mishalachav, right? So one of the ways is that he has to be richer than the Kohen.
So he has his own private assets.
But he, in the event that he wasn't the richest Kohen when he got the job, then the other Kohenim have to fill up his bank account. So he.
We probably found ways.
No, I'm not saying that he is this. I'm not saying he's like a selfless, you know, a public official walking barefoot and giving all his money to the poor. But I'm saying that there's a certain. It makes sense to say that his. That to some extent, because there exists this idea that the public is supporting him, and because we're emphasizing his office, it also makes sense to some extent to say that. Yes, he's buying it with his personal money, but maybe even a statement that his personal money belongs ultimately to the people, to the Echav HaKohanim, to some sort of larger entity, and so because there is this system of sort of him being supported from underneath, that his personal coffers also are like to some extent not entirely his and are and his enough to fulfill the private property kind of rules of Judaism, but. In this case, to be transferable to another creator.
Right. I'd be hesitant because, as I think, as Matt's pushing back, you don't really have such a to say that he's publicly supported is a strong way of putting it. He does get the initial enrichment, which, if you wanted to say that that's enough to create a causative relationship,
well, he gets Truman every year.
No? Well, you can give Truman whatever you want. If all the...
Exactly.
Right.
If the Israelim made a cartel and they determined that no one's going to give the Kohen Gadol Truma, they could do that if they wanted to. Right.
Question.
Okay. Yeah. Well, three questions?
Two.
Maybe. Okay,
one
I was going
to
say. Save one for later.
Just in general, did it Yorshin?
Let's hold that up.
Are we saying that the next Kohen Gadol takes from the previous Kohen Gadol? We say he gets his cow. Is it only his cow? Is it only specially by the cow? Or is it didn't buy it all of his assets? In which case, what the heck are his
No, cow? You don't inherit the Kohen Gadol.
What?
You don't inherit the Kohen Gadol.
So what are you inheriting? So you're only inheriting his part.
Yeah, well,
then
you,
what's this idea
well no,
of
you're not. But you're not inheriting. Right? Inherit's the wrong word, right?
Okay.
Only the sons inherit the father, right? The Kohen Gadol has many sons,
mm-hmm.
and then this other guy is not inheriting the father.
Okay, so
he's.
Midin
being the Kohen Gadol, he gets it. Because this is the Kohen
Gadol. This has a different din on it than every other.
He is an owner, right? He is an owner because he's a Kohen.
Yes.
He becomes the owner when he becomes. That's enough to get his foot in the door.
Okay.
When he becomes promoted to Kohen Gadol, then he becomes the owner because it's the Kohen Gadol's par. So he's the Kohen Gadol. It's the Kohen Gadol's par. The Kohen Gadol has to buy the par because it's the Kohen Gadol's par.
Okay, but why is he.
Because he's a Kohen Gadol.
Anything, let's say the Kohen Gadol decided to make any part of his property joint ownership between all Kohanim in the same manner as this par. If you're saying theoretically, we'll do that.
With can't do it.
That all of a sudden now this
can't do that.
Is going
to
own
there is no Choshen Mishpat model that is parallel to the one we have in Yom Kippurim. Hey, Yud Gimel.
So I don't fully understand the mechanism in which he requires it. So that's question one. Question two is just in terms of the das you have to have in terms of shame of the carbon.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't know if it's the Kohen Gadol's carbon or if
yeah.
it's everyone's carbon, then isn't that always a shalach who we have in mind?
No, it's you have in mind the people who are getting kapara. Right, so he's having in mind the people, and who he just said vidui for 2 minutes, right, 2 seconds
mm-hmm.
ago. Right, he says vidui, and then he shaks the carbon right away.
Mm-hmm.
So he had it. He said vidui for himself and for the kohanim. So that's what he has in mind when he shaks it. So there's no suffix. Why would there be a suffix?
It's
part
of it. It's a suffix. Okay. It has to be necessary as people who meet.
I'm just saying that when it comes to posseling the carbon, that means you're mounting an attack on the underlying identity of the carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And there, it's only going to be a successful attack if you really get into the core of the carbon.
Yeah, but still, no, the carbon requires, you know, if you're saying what's the shame of the carbon, or in one case you have the shame of the carbon is carbon shalom kohen gadol, in
yeah.
Rambam explicitly, and another place we have is called chatat arabin.
Right.
So those are two different names. Regardless of who was even mechaper,
but
have one name.
But that's exactly the argument that we're making, is that
but it's always
inherently it's a car. If the underlying shame of the carbon is the par kohen gadol, right? That is the underlying identity of the carbon. Who has stake in the par kohen gadol? Who are owners in the par kohen gadol? Lowercase o, but who are owners in the par kohen gadol? Achav haKohen. That's enough to prevent temura. That's enough to prevent it from dying after he dies. That's enough to allow someone else, a new Kohen Gadol is promoted, to step into the office and take over.
Well, why is that necessary, the shame that we give it? Why is the shame so clear when the Rambam doesn't make the shame so clear?
Well,
I mean, saying who's Mechaper is fantastic, who's Mechaper, if it were Makiv,
well, this is just this
is fantastic, but
this is just the conception we're trying to present to resolve the theorist.
But even with that conception, it's not so clear.
I don't think so. What you're basically asking me is, there's a big problem in the Rambam, you're offering an answer, but the problem with your answer is that there's a problem in the Rambam.
Yeah, but I'm making a point that
so,
if you will get to the Shema Carbon, it's fantastic you can say that it has this type of ownership for this, but Shema Carbon is not so possible, because you have two different Shema Carbons in the Rambam. And that's something he's explicitly
yeah, so says. but I'm arguing that in one play that one is referring to the shame carbon, the underlying identity, and the other is not. When he calls it Echatas Harabim, that does not mean that the essential identity of this carbon is a carbon harabim.
Mm-hmm.
That's the exact distinction I'm trying to make.
Right,
it is
so,
a carbon
so
of the Kohen Gadol.
So how do we know
and then
what
it depends.
You have to have when you are actually bringing the carbon?
That's why I'm shocked that no one has ever talked about this. But that's exactly why I'm proposing that Bidyevid, if someone had this kind of intent, I'm proposing that it wouldn't possible carbon.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I'm suggesting.
Right.
I would love someone to talk about it. I can't believe no one does. But as
you
far as I know, no one does. Yeah, exactly. That's my plan, actually, for the summer. So let me just say one more point, because this would be like a bigger chiddush, and then we'll get to any other questions. Would be, maybe, and this would really be a chiddush, but maybe we could say that it wouldn't just be, it's not just a question of shinui bailim. Maybe we could say that if someone, let's say someone shechted, or the Kohen Gadol, let's say the Kohen Gadol shechted the Kohen Gadol's par, and he had it not in mind for myself at all, right? The Kohen Gadol says, I am shechting this par Kohen Gadol for X, for Reuven, for Shimon, for Levi. And he has in mind for the Kohen Gadol to not get kapara from it. So I think we certainly would agree that that would be Shinui Bailim. But I would propose, maybe it's possible, that it would also be Shinui Kodesh. Because maybe we could say that this, you have, normally you have Ola Shlamim Chatas, right? And then that's like the step one of categorizing it. And then you have its Shimon's chatas, Yehuda's chatas, Levi's chatas. This carbon could be, this type of carbon is the par kohen gadol. It's not just, it's the par kohen gadol and the kohen gadol gets into the carbon as the owner. Maybe we could say that the carbon itself, just like you have Ola Shlamim and Chatas, and Asham Nazir, and you know Asham Mitzora, and Karban Toda, you have Par Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, right? So this would be a case where part of the Shina Kodesh side of the carbon is that it's the Kohen Gadol's carbon. That would be like a more extreme way of emphasizing the Kohen Gadol's what we're calling super bilim role in the carbon in the par kohen gadol, right? Level A would be to just say that it's the only chance you have of shina bilim is if you drive out the kohen gadol. If you add someone else and love the other kohenim, that's not shina bilim because only the kohen gadol is a owner in the carbon. Level two is to say not just the question of who's an owner in the carbon, who's an owner out of the carbon, but it would be to say that the carbon itself is a par kohen gadol. You have an ola, you have a shlamim, and you have a par kohen gadol, and that would be a way of explaining how, while the other kohenim are owners, it's really his par. That would be the more radical way of saying it. Again, somehow, it's like a basic question, and it's such a minchas chinuch kind of question, like what happens, you know, kind of things that never happen, which he always talks about, they do. So one of them should have been, like, what happens if the Kohen Gadol does Shina Kodesh on his part? Doesn't talk about it. I don't know. But, so that's what I'm saying. Okay, so we're arguing in the Rambam, right, as a way of resolving these tiras, to argue that the Kohenim are Bailim, but the Kohen Gadol is this super Bailim, and he's a super Bailim because that's right, it is called the par kohen gadol, right? That part of being a par kohen gadol is this unique relationship between the kohen gadol and his par. The Rambam doesn't say it black and white, but there are a couple of Rishonim who really seem to do. Did people able to see the Gemara in on Membeis? Mm-hmm. Able to see the Tosas at the bottom? Okay, great. So let's save a little bit of time. So what's going on in the Gemara on Membeis? There's a halacha that we learn over there. I think we actually saw this at the beginning of the semester. Mm-hmm. Right, there's a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel.
About whether the partial Kohen Gadol can be shechted by a Zahar, or whether the
Paradum. Exactly. Right, so there's one carbon, and we know that if it's shechted by a Zahar, it's possible. We just, there's a Machlokas whether it is the Paraduma mm-hmm. or the par Kohen Gadol. Now, it will be very surprising for the par Kohen Gadol to be possible if it's shechted by someone else. Why would it be surprising for carbon to be possible if it's shechted by someone else? Shechita Vodi. Exactly, right? In principle. What exactly that means is a whole awesome long story, right? But shechita in some sense is not an avoda, and therefore if it's done by a non-Kohen, it's okay. Now all of a sudden, if it's done by the Kohen Gadol, it is possible, right? So we'd have to explain why on earth is the par possible if it's shechted by someone who's not the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so there are three basic options you could choose, one of which gets us excited, but the one that gets us excited happens to be the one which is embraced by Tosos. Right? Because what do the Tosos say? So Tosos ask a good question. They ask in the Gemara in Menachos on Vav Mebez, so the Gemara asks, can a czar really shecht a carbon? And then the Gemara asks, but a czar can't shecht the paraduma, right? So Tosfos asks, well, wait a second, you're asking, if you want to bring carbonos to ask, how do we know that a czar can shecht a carbon? We know that a czar can't shecht this carbon, so why didn't the Gemara ask from par kohen gadol, right? The Gemara should have asked, what do you mean a czar is allowed to shecht carbonos? The czar is not allowed to shecht the par of the Kohen Gadol, right? Why did the Gemara assume that even in a world where czarim may shecht karbanos, why did the Gemara always assume that a czar cannot shecht the par Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara brings the answer, Tosos, bring the answer of Rav Shmuel Bar Shlomo, B'Shem Rav Yosef Kaltzon. Does anybody want to have it open and read the answer? But did we talk about this? Who's the author of the Tosfos in Yuma? Did we talk about this?
No.
Right. Tosfos in Yuma written by... they're written by the Maharami Rutenberg. Right. Normally, Tosfos are written by the French. Right here, they're A, German, B, they're very late. So that's why we have him quoting all the time people who we normally have not heard of. So here we have Amar Ali, right? So Maram says, this is my Rebbe, Rav Shmuel Bar Shlomo, the Shem Rav Yosef Kaltzon. And what does he have to say? Yeah. So if someone besides the Kohen Gadol shechts the par Kohen Gadol, it's pasul. That's not because it's an avoda, and the proof is because other Kohenim can't shecht either, right?
Just the Kohen Gadol.
Exactly. So why on earth is it only the Kohen Gadol?
Rather, the Torah says that it needs to be shechted by the Baalim. Like smicha, that's also not a voda, that means it's not like smicha.
Right, just like smicha must be, smicha is not an avoda, right? But smicha is done by the Baalim. So to hear shechita, even though it's not an avoda, it must be done by the Baalim. So why, according to Tosfos, why does the Kohen Gadol have to shecht his par?
Because
he's the owner, right? Because he is the Baalim. I don't know why Baalim in the plural is always used, but it always is, instead of the singular. Okay. So that's exactly the answer that we would want, right? We would want someone to say that the reason why the Kohen Gadol has to do it is because basically he's the Kohen Gadol. After all, it's the other Kohenim are sort of owners, right? But they're not allowed to shach the carbon. So we have this like unique nafkamina, right? That if we're talking about ways where the Kohen Gadol has this unique relationship with his par, so one is that unique among all our Kohenos, right? He has to shach his par. And why does he have to shecht his par? Because the owner must shecht the par of the Kohen Gadol. So that's really interesting. There are a couple of other things that you could have easily said. Number one, you could have simply said, why does the Kohen Gadol have to do shechita? Well, it's Yom Kippur, so the Kohen Gadol has to do everything, right? Some people take from this Gemara as a makar, that the Kohen Gadol has to do all the avodah on Yom Kippur. Right, beginning especially we saw other sources, right? Rashi and Toras Kohanim, but this could have been your source. You could have said Kohen Gadol needs to do Shechitas Par Kohen Gadol because Kohen Gadol has to do all the avodah. That would have been option one. Option two, which actually is a really interesting one, and would teach us a nice Yom Kippur lesson, would be the proposal of the Netziv, right? The Hamak Davar. Hamak Davar talks about the Salacha in his Parashah on the Pasuk. Did people see the Hamak Davar at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Does the Bais Medrash here have the big fancy black one?
No, they're small.
Okay, so it was put out a few years ago.
We ended up seeing what you sent.
Okay, good. Because I want you to see the footnote.
Yeah.
It's really worth getting for your own library, and definitely for this one. It was, I think, the Meshech Chachmas, which are put out by Rav Cooperman from Mechala, which are amazing and have the super thorough index in the back and the really good footnotes and the long introduction. So I think it looks like it's his son and his son's nephew, which make him his grandson, who pretty recently did a not as good a job, but like excellent footnotes to the Hamak Davar, and it's highly recommended investment. So Hamak Davar, so he gives a different explanation. Why do we have the Kohen Gadol shechting his carbon? This is a really interesting idea. So he says that there's in general, when it comes to shechting carbonos, in general, l'chachila, we want the owner of a carbon to shecht it. Which is really interesting and tells you, like a philosophical concept, that we want the owner to be involved in the hakrava of his carbon. And the footnotes to the Hamak Davar there have the main source for this, which is Gemara and Psachim, about what bracha you say in a carbon. The Gemara makes it sound like the owner makes a different bracha than a non-owner when shechting a karban, and that's because it's the mitzvah is incumbent upon the owner to shech this karban, right? So the owner of a karban would say, "Brachta Hashem Asher Hashem Sano Lishchot," right? Because it's his mitzvah, so he would say Lishchot, while other people would say Al Hashchita. So in general, it seems like there is a lechachila mitzvah for the owner to shech the karban. So it says in its Siv, why are we having the Kohen Gadol shech this karban? Because on Yom Kippur, what's normally lechachila, right? We were makbid on ambition on Yom Kippur, right? So what's normally just a nice thing to do, you know, on Yom Kippur, you have to go all in, right? So that's why, that's why the Kohen Gadol must shech his karban. It's just an amplified version of the normal lechachiliut of Shechita Sabaylim. Right, that's the argumentative. Very interesting, and you'd want someone to say that. I was happy when I found that he said that. But for our purposes, right, where we're looking for someone who really emphasizes the relationship. Relationship between Kohen Gadol and Par Kohen Gadol. So that's exactly what this Tosfos on Mem Beis seems to be saying black on white. Okay, a couple more quick things. Won't go inside now, but if you have a chance in the Rav Lachenstein Shirim, so he goes through those options and he has them implicitly. And Rav Wolf in a footnote. The footnote there written by Rav Dani Wolf. So he quotes the Gemara Menachos, which a couple of other Achronim I've seen quote as well, which you can go through on your own, but that Gemara is an excellent proof for this Tosfos. So it's not just this Tosfos, but it's also this Tosfos with a very firm backing from the Gemara Menachos that the owner of the Karban has to shach the Par Kohen Gadol. Okay. Two more quick things. One, just another reason I think who seems to be emphasizing the relationship between the Kohen Gadol and the Par Kohen Gadol was this Tosas Harash in Kiddushin. Right, because the Gemara Kiddushin is trying to figure out what's the source for Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso. Right, the Gemara there says maybe you can learn it from Karban Pesach. Right, because Pesach says V'shachtu Avso Kol Kol Adas Yisrael. Right, that the Jews shall shach their carbon pesach. There's a mitzvah to shach their carbon pesach, but carbon pesach has to be brought not as an individual, but chabur. Right, so you can't have 10 people shach one carbon. Right, so how can the carbon pesach be shachted by not everyone? Shlucho, exactly. Right, so that's one proposal. So Tosfos Rash asks, well, wait a second. We could have . So Tosfos Rash says, why not try to derive shlichus from Par Kohen Gadol? Because the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that the Kohen Gadol must shecht his karban, right? So what would my havamina have been? Well, it was before the Gemara tells me that the Kohen Gadol himself, the Chodov Atzmo, must shecht his karban. So, you can make a shliach. That's how you make a shliach, right? So maybe the Gemara is telling me, other karbanos, you could have a shliach. And this is the one karban where it has to be done by himself, right? So why can't I use Par Kohen Gadol as a source for shlichas, right? That here there's no shlichas, but elsewhere there is shlichas. So basically, Tosfos Rash's answer is that I never would have even dreamt of the comparison, because the relationship between owner and karban that exists in Par Kohen Gadol doesn't exist in other karbanos at all. Other karbanos, you don't need a shliach to shecht your karban for you. Other karbanos, you don't even need to know that your karban was shechted, right? We taught you could send your karbanos to your shalayim. You don't have to know the moment when they're shechted. You don't have to know they were shechted. You could be, you know, taking a bathroom break and the Kohen took your karban for you and shechted it without your awareness that it even happened. Right? He says you don't even need das bailim. They don't need to know that their karban was shechted. As opposed to karban Kohen Gadol, where not only does he have to know that his karban was shechted, he has to do it. Right? He has to do it. So that again seemed to emphasize the, that Kohen Gadol has this special connection with Par Kohen Gadol. Finally, I think the last thing I wanted to just get out, and we'll basically just get this in time, is I just wanted to quibble with the piece in the Rav. Right, so the Rav is working on this Gemara, which is important and we should all know. The Kohen Gadol says two different viduyim on his carbon, right? He says one vidui for himself, and then he says one vidui for all the other kohanim, right? Why does he have to do vidui for himself? Why does vidui for all the other kohanim? So that's the answer that a ton of the Rabbi Shmuel say, right? That's how Midas HaDin works. Mutav yevo zakai v'chaper al chayav, al yevo chayav v'chaper al chayav, right? That you should be, when you're coming to atone for everyone else, you personally should be a zakai, right? If you've got your own warts, you shouldn't be coming to atone for everyone else. Interesting concept. So that's why the Kohen Gadol first says his own vidui, and then afterwards he says the second vidui. Great. So, but there's a major question to ask, which is, in the first vidui, he says vidui for himself, period. Second vidui, he says vidui for himself and for all other kohanim. Right? So I was an English major in college, and when we took writing classes, they taught us that we were supposed to do is delete as many superfluous words as you possibly can. Right? So if I had to delete superfluous words from the second vidui, what would I have gotten rid of?
Himself,
right? The whole point of the first vidui was now he's clean as a whistle, right? Now he's ready to come and be mechaper for everyone else. So why on earth does he put himself back in the second vidui? Right, that's the question Tosu Shishanim asked over here. So the Rav gave one answer. The answer the Rav gave was that no matter what we talked about last week, no matter how strongly we connect the Kohanim to the other Kohanim, to the Par Kohen Gadol, ultimately their Kapara is not direct Kapara, ultimately their Kapara is somewhat indirect through the Kohen Gadol, which is hard to understand. When he says black and white, it's even if it's Mikviyusa. The whole point of Mikviyusa was that they were getting direct Kapara. So how he says that, even if they get atonement Mikviyusa, it's really through the Kohen Gadol, was something that I just had a hard time understanding. Right. Again, you want to say that since they're getting their Kapara through the Kohen Gadol, therefore the Kohen Gadol must be in all of the Vidui. Right? I get the concept that that's why the Kohen Gadol has to be in it. I just don't get what it means for Kviyusa to mean indirect Kapara. The whole distinction between Kviyusa and Kufya was direct Kapara or indirect Kapara. So I thought that a different answer that you could give would be if we emphasize not that the Kohanim's Kapara comes from the Kohen Gadol, but we emphasize that who's the owner of the carbon, the real owner of the carbon, the super owner? Kohen Gadol. Who says Vidui on Karbanos? Right. In general, a violin, right? Whoever is the owner of the carbon is the one who does the vidui on the carbon, right? It's what we saw, right? Tosas talked about smicha, right? Like, smicha is then in the violin, right? So today said shechita is in the violin. Well, guess what? Smicha goes along with vidui. So we can argue that part and parcel of being the super violin, right? So not only with the Rambam that it's, you know, it's his carbon, and Tosfos that he has to shecht it. We can argue that part of being super violin means that if there's a vidui being set on the karban, that vidui must include the bialim. And it doesn't matter if he's atoned already, right? He's zakai. His personal account has been cleared after the first vidui. But since he's the owner of the karban, the bialim, he needs to do the smicha, he needs to do the shrita. That's why he needs to appear in the vidui, even though it seems superfluous. I thought that would be a possible answer to that question. Okay, right, so at the end of the day, so we're arguing par Kohen Gadol, right, what were our three arguments we had at the beginning? We have par Kohen Gadol was one.
Asher Lo,
right, and the fact that generally his day, his carbon, right, so a priori, I'd expect there to be a special issue between the Kohen Gadol and his par. It seemed, according to everyone except for Adam, it seemed like that is the resolution why sometimes the Rambam is calling it a par of the Shutfin, sometimes he's calling it a Yachid. Sounds like they have a stake, but ultimately, inherently, it's his carbon. Tosfos, with their emphasis on shechita of the bialim, and the argument we're making now, that's why the Kohen Gadol has to be in the vidui. Okay, ishkach. Next week we'll do carbon tzibur. That'll be a good one.